Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Welcome to the service of worship today. Trust that you'll be blessed as we gather in the grace and love of our Lord and Savior and worship Him. Let us take a few moments to look at our announcements for the day. On the back page of our order of service, you'll find the Taking Five Scripture and Prayer. Scripture is coming from the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 24, verses 14 through 16, and the prayer. You're encouraged to spend 5 minutes each day with that scripture in prayer. Immediately following worship, we have our time of fellowship downstairs and hope you'll be able to join us for that. On Tuesday evening at 6 p.m. here, there's the North Shore Mental Health Group meeting, and that will be for those gathering present as well as those by Zoom. And so if you have questions on that, please see Nancy. Wednesday morning Bible study is using the upper room for their devotional and study. If you can join them for that, that would be grand. You'll see that on August 28th, so just about a week and a half from now, I suppose, August 28th at 10 a.m., there will be our next community luncheon meeting. We met this past week to make plans for our community luncheon on September 13th. This is what we did back in April, where we had a luncheon. We invited folks from the community. There was no charge, just a chance to gather together. And so that meeting went well. The decision was made. Are you ready? Ham balls. Ruth wasn't able to make it, so we voted in the positive. So looking forward to that. So if you can come and to that meeting, even if you're not able to help on the 13th, but would like to come to get more information or to have some suggestions, or maybe you can do some work in preparation for that, please do put that on your calendar. On the inside cover, you'll see the wondrous news that last week we took an offering for the young adult in Thailand. Her name is Post, and we've been helping her with a university training, her university costs. Last week we took an offering that collected well over $4,000. Just amazing. So thank you so much. With that, the offering we collected will most likely take a small portion of money from the funds we already have in our House of Love mission, and we'll be able to cover her entire year of university. This is her third year now. We've been able to support her, a young woman who started this process 3.5-4 years ago, talking to the folks at the House of Love saying, how could I do this? I can't afford university. And they said, well, God will provide. Go ahead and apply. And here you are, being used by God. Thank you so much. Those are the announcements I have. Others we need to be aware of this day. All right. Well, let us begin our worship then with a word of prayer. Shall we pray? Oh, holy God. Holy and loving God, O holy, loving and merciful God, we come before you this day to worship you, to dwell in your presence, to hear your call upon our lives, not only to come into this place, into this sanctuary, into this space, but to hear your call for us to walk with you and to walk in the ways of wisdom. We pray, dear Lord, that you would be with us now, that you would open our hearts, our minds, our ears, that you would give us ears to hear, that you give us a heart to receive your word, your teaching, your presence into our lives. We ask that you would bless this time, dear Lord, and that in turn we may be a blessing to you and a blessing to the world around us. We pray for this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
The first reading is from the Gospel of John, chapter 6. Verses 51 through 58, page 868 in the Pew Bible. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh. The Jews then disputed among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? So Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood have eternal life, and I will raise them up on the last day. For the flesh is true food, and my blood is true drink. Those who eat my flesh and drink my blood abide in me, and I in them. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so whoever eats me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven, not like that which your ancestors ate and they died, but the one who eats this bread will live forever. The second reading is from the book of Proverbs, verses 1 through 6, page 516 in your pew Bible. Wisdom has built her house. She has hewn her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her animals and she has mixed her wine. She has also set her table. She has sent out her servant girls. She calls from the highest places in town. You that are simple, turn in here. To those without sense, she says, come, eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Lay aside immaturity and live, and walk in the way of insight.
Will you join with me in prayer? Let us pray. Gracious God, we ask now that you would bless the word that is spoken and the word that is heard for your glory and for our salvation. In Christ's name, amen. It's always challenging, and if not, some would say it's just not prudent, to begin a sermon with an assumption. But I'm going to begin this sermon with an assumption. And that assumption is that we would all agree, that's a bizarre statement, okay, can we all agree on anything? I'm not sure. That we would all agree that wisdom is a good thing. I've never really encountered anyone who said, no, wisdom's bad or something or not needed. I mean, if someone were to come up to you and to say, boy, you're a wise person, I mean, I'd be really shocked if you were to look at them and say, what are you talking about? Why would you say such a thing? You know, I mean, we would take that as a compliment, right? Wisdom is a good thing, yeah. And it is. It is. There's no doubt about that. I grew up in a church that didn't really talk about wisdom. I've been pretty much all my life in church of one denomination or another. I've never really had anyone tell me that wisdom is important or even necessary for the faith. I mean, would you go that far and say wisdom is necessary? That's an interesting thought for some of us. I mean, if I was honest, I have a fairly good memory, and as I reflect back on the church I grew up in and what I was taught, I really can't think of a time where someone sat down and said, okay, this is what wisdom is, and this is why it's important, and this is how you are to grow in it. Indeed, as I've thought about it, I've learned more about wisdom, I think, or at least had, maybe not learned, maybe that's too strong a word, I had more exposure to wisdom from the larger world around me. Think of little sayings I grew up with, right? The early bird gets the what? Though weren't very good, you were still awake. Okay, yeah. A penny saved is a penny earned. Yeah, I mean, if I suppose if we want to, we could list out all these type of sayings we grew up. And these sayings, some attributed to Ben Franklin and others, but they're part of wisdom. And they would say these are wisdom sayings, and wisdom does function in that way. Some of you might even say, well, Ruth read from the book of Proverbs, and she did. And Proverbs has all sorts of those sayings, of those maxims, of wise sayings that we should hold to. A verse from Proverbs that has been important for Eileen and I, and especially this last year, has been Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Some of you know that. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understandings, and all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's a wonderful verses and can be a great sense of reassurance. And if we wanted to, we could go through Proverbs and find many like that. I actually wrote some down, but they're up there and I'm down here, so I'm not sure that I'll actually go back to them. But, you know, and some of them have to do with our faith and following God. Others have to do with, why we shouldn't rebuke the wicked because we'll get hurt. And so it stretches through. But that said, we have these, and we tend to take Proverbs and other books of the wisdom literature, like Ecclesiastes and Song of Solomon, and we set those off to the side and say, well, that's for later, really. That's not really essential to the faith. It's not really essential to who I am. I can get by without this. In popular culture, there's always been a sense that wisdom is important. You can think of movies where there are wise characters and how they're important to the story. if you're a big science fiction fan, I'm so-so, but I remember when I was in the first drive-in movie I ever went to, my family, we had a cousin visiting, so we got to go to a drive-in, and had never done that before, and we went and saw Star Wars, you know, and my father sat out, so... Just this has nothing to do with the sermon, but it just, I'm sorry. I'm really tired today, so this is going to be a rambling sermon. So I can just picture, we're watching the movie, and you have that little speaker mounted on the window, you know, we're trying to blare it. And I kept on glancing out to my dad, and my dad, for like 2 hours, stood out in the parking lot like this. Just like I never really watched the movie. He was just bored silly. But the point, but in Star Wars, you had this character, Obi-Wan Kenobi, and he's a wise character. And he's a sort of central element to that story. Or if you don't like science fiction, think of Westerns. One of the more popular Westerns, The Magnificent Seven, with Yul Brynner and Steve McQueen. And they're saving a town from a bunch of bandits. And they go up to the village in the middle of this, in the middle of the movie. They go up to the hills to get this old man who's living in the hills. And he says, no, I'm not moving. And we see him as a wise character that tells us where this story is going. Or think of, we've done several over the years, Wednesday night roundtables, and we've watched movies. And one time we watched a movie, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou? And we watched segments of that movie. We broke it into four. And the movie begins with three characters escaping from the chain gang. It's set in Mississippi in 1937. And as they're running through the field in sort of goofy ways, because it's sort of a goofy movie, they hop on this car, this push car. You remember on old railroads, you could have this with, I don't know what it is, you train fanatics could tell me the exact term, but the guy, you know, you can push up and down and the car goes along, and on this cart there's this old man who's blind, and he tells them what their future will be. He's a wise person, wise person. And all of that is great, and we might think, well, wisdom, yeah, okay, Paul, wisdom's a good thing, and Proverbs is fine, da-da-da-da, but does it really matter? We Protestants for 500 years have, one of the gifts we have brought to the table of the Christian church is this idea that knowledge is important. We have stressed time and time again the importance of knowing Scripture, knowing the Bible, and why knowledge is important. And knowledge is important to wisdom. There is no doubt about that. If you were to look in a dictionary, many dictionaries have different definitions of wisdom, but we would start to see sort of similar elements and definitions, and we'd find, I think, three key words for wisdom. Wisdom involves knowledge, it involves insight, and it involves judgment. The problem for me in the church, and this is just my experience, I don't know, maybe you folks all grew up in churches that you talked about wisdom all the time, and so maybe I'm just the outlier. I don't think so, but maybe I am. The problem is, if we only focus on knowledge, as we Protestants are apt to do, we lose out on insight and judgment. We end up taking knowledge and we follow the ways of the larger world, where knowledge is what? Knowledge is something we master. The more knowledge we have, the more power we have. And now we're running against the grain of wisdom, of wisdom. Proverbs would, I think, agree with that, because Proverbs in the 9th chapter gives us an interesting chapter with Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom. If we were to read in just the previous chapter, we'd find wisdom being personified as being at the very beginning of creation. And she is with God, with creation, and takes delight in creation, and it's a fascinating chapter to read and then go back and look at Genesis 1. But in chapter 9, we have wisdom has built her house, and she has hewn 7 pillars. So now we're moving beyond, right? We're moving beyond wisdom just being knowledge. Now we're told wisdom as a person, wisdom as a woman, who has built her house. If you noticed on your front cover of your order of service, Lynn has a wonderful graphic there she put up with looks like a temple with 7 pillars. And that's great. I tend to think of the house here not so much as a temple, more just sort of this grand sprawling house supported by 7 pillars. And what is wisdom doing here? Is wisdom looking, and is she holding classes in this house? is she's saying, sign up and take this advanced course and you'll end up with a great degree that will help you in your future career. No, of course not. She has built her house and she has hewn seven pillars, the sense of fullness and completeness. And then what does she do next? She slaughters her animals, she mixes her wine, she sets her table. Proverbs is giving us in this chapter a telling truth of what wisdom is like. And one of the first things we see about wisdom in this chapter is that wisdom is a gift. I believe that to walk in the faith, to grow in the faith, calls us to walk the path of wisdom. Wisdom doesn't come about necessarily with age. In this church, it does. We have a lot of wise people in this church, and we have a lot of people in sort of advanced age. So well done to you. You follow that. But it's not necessarily a given. I've known people that are advanced in age who have no wisdom. We see here that wisdom is an invitation. It's a gift. The image we have in this of Lady Wisdom is building a house and preparing a sumptuous feast and then looking out and sending out her slave girls and saying, go invite all that you can find into this feast. Notice it's not go out and find those who are qualified, go out and find those who are living the right life, go out and find those who are doing good things. Mm-mm. Find whoever you can and invite. Some of you are familiar with the Gospels and familiar with Jesus' parables. You'll know that Jesus tells a similar parable about the king and his banquet, where he goes out and sends his servants out to the street, and they reject it, and so then he gets angry, and then he extends the invitation even wider. We need wisdom in our life to grow. We need wisdom to take the knowledge we have and then to be walk in, and as this proverb says, to walk in the way of insight, to walk in the way that we can make good judgments about what is before us. You might disagree with me and say, oh no, you really don't need wisdom. But I believe you do. If we have any doubt about that, we look at one of the wisest teachers in all of Scripture, and guess who that is? Name begins with a J. Yeah, Jesus. Jesus is often regarded as a wisdom teacher. We had the chance yesterday to be with some friends, old friends, and we drove down to the cities, and they came up from Sioux Falls, and we met them for the day. And Paul and Jan, they're wonderful people, wonderfully gifted people. Paul's a counselor, and he was talking about an individual he works with who is of the Islamic faith. And they were getting into a discussion about how Islam and where Islam and Christianity differs. And he said it was a fascinating discussion. And at one point, this person looked at Paul and said, well, you know, you have stories. We have direction, meaning the Quran tells you what you are to do to live in the faith. And does Jesus do that? Does Jesus walk through his ministry while he's on earth giving specific instructions? No, he doesn't. I mean, he does here and there, but more often than not, Jesus is telling what? He's telling parables. And parables drive some of us crazy. I mean, it's like, what are you getting at? Why did you send Peter out to get a fish, go fishing and find a fish that had a coin in his mouth and then use that coin to pay the tax? That makes no sense at all. Really, Jesus? But time after time, Jesus gives parables to draw people in. To engage their imagination, to engage what they know into a deeper walk, into a deeper faith. Mark chapter 4, Jesus gives the parable of the sower and the seed. Remember that parable? Where the sower, some of the seed falls on rocky ground, some of the seed falls among thorns, some of the seed falls on good soil. I mean, we know the answer to that because we've heard that parable many times. But he ends that parable by saying what? He said, let those who have ears listen. Which is, if you're not really familiar with Jesus, or you might end up thinking he was talking to a bunch of people who somehow didn't have ears. That's not what he's getting at. We don't read that literally. He's saying, if you have the ability, if you have the wisdom to hear this parable, listen. And if you don't have the wisdom, then call out to God who offers this as a free gift. Lady Wisdom has prepared her feast. She has built her house. She has made a place for us to dwell. and to partake of. And it is supposed to be a joyous thing. It's not supposed to be a laborious thing. It's not something we have to take tests on. Some of you like taking tests. I despise taking tests. That's not what this is about. It is about entering into the presence of the living God and learning and growing and gaining knowledge and insight and judgment. So if we know that wisdom is a gift, we also see in this chapter that it is a gift offered, and it is a gift that must be sought after and accepted. We didn't read the whole chapter. It's actually not that long of a chapter, but it goes verses 1 through 6, and then verses 7 through 12 are wise sayings. And then in verse 13, we meet foolish woman, or the literal translation is strange woman. She is loud, she is ignorant, and knows nothing. And then, as we go on, we read the description of foolish woman almost matches the description of Lady Wisdom. She sits at the door of her house. She hasn't built her house, but she sits at the door on a seat at the high places of the town, calling to all those who pass by, who are going straight on their way. You who are simple, turn in here. And to those without sense, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But they do not know, the writer says, that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of Sheol. Both of these women are calling out to us as we go through our lives. One is saying, come in, take part of the feast, learn, grow, feast. The other is saying, come into my house. It's a secret place, but it's really nice. If you come in here, you're going to find things. And wisdom would tell us all that you will find are things that diminish life. All that you will find ultimately leads to death. We have to seek wisdom. The call goes out to us, and we must seek it. That means, for me, someone who's not very wise, one of my prayers throughout my day, starting literally decades ago, is that each time I pray, I ask the Lord for wisdom. As we grow in wisdom, or as we ask for wisdom, we begin to realize how we're not wise. Wisdom invites humility, not pride. Wisdom invites dependence, not mastery. The wiser we grow, the more we realize we need others in our lives, just like we need God in our life. Wisdom is a relational path to walk. We walk it with others, and we end up, and what frustrates people about the wisdom literature in the Bible, or people who are trying to seek out wisdom, is we end up with more questions than we have answers. And I'm thinking most of us here like answers more than we like questions. Once again, reflect on how Jesus taught and how Jesus invited people into the kingdom. More often than not, he invited them in with questions. He told them parables that didn't have specific answers. This doesn't mean, I'm not saying there are not truths within the Bible that we are meant to cling to and hold on to. But more often in life, we go through life and we want answers right now. And we aren't always able to have that. And where does that leave us? For some of us, it leaves us wondering, where is God in all this? If I can't find an answer, what's the point of God? And here we have Jesus saying the point is to be dependent upon the presence of the living God with you and how God is sustaining you in this day. You want to know what the future will be. And God is telling you, I am with you here and now. I thought of that this week as I was meeting with Allison Oja at the hospital, and I asked her if I could share this, so don't worry, I'm not, and she said fine. I had, the beginning of the week, I ran down to Des Moines and came back Monday morning, came back Tuesday, and I was hoping to see Allison before I came up for the council meeting. I wasn't able to make it, and so I got up early Tuesday morning, went over to the hospital to spend some time with her, and I wanted to see how she was doing, and Allison is in good spirits, but she has a long road ahead of her. Multiple treatments of chemotherapy ahead, as well as trying to get her kidneys back online, and she has good spirits. And So we had that time to talk and talk about where God is moving in her life at this moment. And then I had to share with her the news that I shared with you last Sunday, because I didn't want her to hear from someone else, and she hadn't, that I'm resigning. And we spent some moments sitting there in silence as she processed that. And we talked about it, and we had a time of prayer. And as I was getting ready to go, she said, "You know, Pastor, the image that comes to me," and this really caught me off guard, "the image that comes to me is that you have just dropped a big fish on my lap here as I'm lying in bed." So as you can imagine, I don't know what to say at this moment. And I said, "Can you explain that a little, Allison?" "Well," she said, "it's sort of flopping around and it's messy and I'm not quite sure what to do with it. Part of me is thinking that if I gut this thing, I'm going to have a really nice dinner." Yeah, she's all speaking metaphorically, right? We're all clear on that. I didn't put a fish, literal fish, on her lap. But she's saying, "I don't know what to do with this." And I looked at her and I just like, my goodness, you're right. That, my friends, my brothers and sisters, is a wise response at that point. She didn't look and ask for me to explain it. She didn't look and ask me to tell her what the months ahead for her, for me, for this church will be. She said, "Right now, I just have to sit with this thing. And I don't like it." And if any of you have ever fished and you pull in a nice sized fish, it's not something you just put on your lap because it's not that pleasant. And she didn't want it, but that's what was there. Lady Wisdom calls out to us. Lady Wisdom calls out and says, "Follow my path." Have you ever had a fish dropped on your lap? Have you ever reached a point in life where you thought, "What am I to do with this?" I know many of you have. I have. Last Sunday was a fish moment for me, I think for some of you. I've already had folks asking me, "What's the future going to be?" I do not know. I do not know. But I do know that God will be with us, with you as individuals, with you as the body of Christ, with Eileen and I, that we are called to walk a path, to have knowledge, to have the insight to look at each Sunday we have together, each days we have in the weeks ahead, and to see where the Spirit is moving, where God is leading, to exercise good judgment, to recognize, no, what I'm feeling right now is fear, and I have to ask God to take that away from me. We want to be angry. We want to be sad. Perfectly reasonable. I've been living with that for 15 months. Fear, though, fear is a different animal. And we need wisdom to be able to discern what is fear and what is just the normal grief process. Because we need to be able to walk where Christ has called us to walk. We need to be able to be the people God has called us to be. And we need to be able to never lose sight that we are God's beloved children who will not abandon nor forsaken. That, sisters and brothers, is the path of wisdom. That is what Lady Wisdom calls us to and who she calls us to be. I pray for this day, for the days ahead, that we will choose that path, that we might follow the ways of wisdom who was with God at the beginning of creation, that we might know the joy amidst our sorrow, the joy amidst our sorrow, that God is continuing to lead us onward and to walk with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Receive now the benediction. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, and the communion of the Holy Spirit rest, reign, and rule in your life this day now and forevermore, world without end. Amen.